All right, so today we're going to be diving into injection mold gate types.
Okay.
And it might not sound like the most thrilling topic, but
Yeah.
trust me, this stuff is way more interesting than you might think.
Right.
You know how we're always surrounded by plastic products? Well, the gate is a crucial part of how those products are made.
Yeah.
We've got some excerpts from an article here called
Okay.
"What Are the Different Gate Types for Injection Molds and How to Select the Right One?" And it's really geared towards people just getting started with the injection molding process.
Right.
So today we're going to unpack the basics of these gate types,
Yeah.
why they matter, and how does the choice of gate impact both the manufacturing process and the final product you hold in your hand.
Right.
I'm joined by our resident expert who can break down the technical details and show us why this seemingly small detail
Yeah.
has a surprisingly big impact.
I think what's really interesting about injection molding is that even something as seemingly insignificant as the gate can have these like ripple effects throughout the whole process. We're talking cost efficiency, quality, even the appearance of the final product.
Exactly. It's like those tiny details in a recipe that can make or break the entire dish. So let's start with the fundamentals. What exactly is a gate in the context of injection molding?
Okay, so imagine you are pouring molten plastic into a mold to create a specific shape. The gate is that entry point where the plastic flows into the mold cavity. It acts like a gateway, guiding the material to take on the desired form.
So if I'm picturing this correctly, it's like the nozzle on a garden hose directing the flow of water, but instead of water, it's hot liquid plastic.
That's a great analogy. And just like different nozzles can create different spray patterns, the type of gate used in injection molding influences how the plastic fills the mold and ultimately shapes the final product.
That makes sense. Now, the article highlights that different gate types exist. So why does the specific type of gate matter so much?
Well, it all boils down to how that molten plastic flows into the mold and solidifies. The gate type impacts everything from the appearance of the final product, where you might see those little marks or imperfections, to the structural integrity of the part itself. It even affects how much pressure the mold can handle and how evenly the plastic cools, which can make a big difference in preventing defects.
So choosing the wrong gate could lead to a whole cascade of problems.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
The article kicks off with direct gates, and it uses this helpful analogy comparing a sprue gate to a sprue for a tree.
Yes, a sprue gate or direct gate is like the main trunk of the tree, directly channeling the plastic into the mold. It's the simplest type of gate, and that simplicity offers some distinct advantages. It's very efficient in terms of material flow and pressure transmission. Plus, the mold design itself remains straightforward, making it easier to manufacture.
So direct gates are all about efficiency and simplicity. That sounds great so far, but the article also mentions some downsides, like challenges with removing the gate and potential issues with heat concentration. So if direct gates are great for efficiency, what about aesthetics? Would a direct gate be a good choice for a product where the look is really important?
That's a key consideration because a direct gate is large and directly connected to the part. Removing it can leave a noticeable mark. Imagine trying to make something like a sleek phone case or a car part with a big, obvious gate mark. Not very appealing.
Definitely not. Okay, so direct gates might not win any beauty contests. And what about that heat concentration problem? What kind of issues can that cause?
So think about that hot plastic flowing in. With a direct gate, the area around the gate tends to stay hotter for a longer time, which can lead to uneven cooling. And uneven cooling can cause the part to warp or create internal stresses that might weaken it over time. I've seen this firsthand where a minor warping issue caused by a direct gate led to a batch of plastic components cracking under stress.
So even though direct gates are efficient and simple, those potential downsides for aesthetics and structural integrity can be a real concern. Let's move on to point gates now. The article seems to highlight their advantages for aesthetics and automation. So tell me about those.
Point gates are all about achieving a flawless finish and streamlining production. Unlike direct gates, They're much smaller.
Yeah.
And strategically placed in less visible areas, often along the edges of a part.
Okay.
This means the mark left behind is tiny and much less noticeable, especially after any finishing processes.
So it's almost like they're hiding the gate mark.
Right.
Which is really clever.
It is.
I'm curious about how these point gates detach automatically.
Yeah.
It sounds almost magical.
It's pretty ingenious.
Okay.
So to achieve automatic detachment.
Yeah.
Point gates often utilize a special mold design called a three-plate mold.
Okay.
It's a more complex mold with extra mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically for gate separation.
Okay.
As the mold opens, the point gate breaks away cleanly.
Right.
Leaving behind a smooth, almost unblemished surface.
Wow.
No more manual trimming.
So point gates are the way to go for products where a pristine look is essential.
Absolutely.
It sounds like they're the stars of the show when it comes to aesthetics.
Yes. You'll often find point gates used in consumer electronics.
Okay.
Automotive parts and medical devices.
Right.
Where that polished look is critical.
Mm-hmm.
And that automatic detachment feature.
Yeah.
That's a big win for manufacturers looking to streamline their production processes.
Right.
And reduce labor costs.
Okay, so point gates sound pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
But like with anything, I imagine there's some trade-offs.
Yeah.
The article did mention some limitations.
Yeah.
What are the downsides to using point gates?
You're right. There's always a balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
Those three-plate molds required for automatic detachment can be more expensive to manufacture.
Okay.
And because point gates are so small, there's an increased risk of pressure loss during injection, which might impact the quality of the final product if it isn't managed carefully.
So point gates offer those amazing aesthetic benefits and automation potential, but might come with higher costs and some technical challenges that need to be addressed.
Right.
That's a really interesting trade-off.
Yeah.
Speaking of placement, that brings us to side gates, which the article describes as versatile and efficient, especially when making lots of identical parts at once.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about side gates?
So side gates are incredibly flexible in terms of where they can be positioned on the mold.
Mm-hmm.
As the name suggests, they're located on the side of the part.
Right.
Which gives manufacturers more control over how that plastic flows into the mold cavity.
Okay.
This control is particularly helpful in avoiding defects like weld lines.
Yeah.
Which are essentially weak points that can form where two streams of molten plastic meet during the injection process.
Ah, so it's like strategically positioning the gate to ensure a smoother and more consistent flow of plastic.
Yeah.
Which helps avoid those weak spots.
Exactly.
And the article mentioned how easy side gates are to remove, which seems like a big plus for efficiency on the manufacturing floor.
Exactly. Side gates are designed for clean and easy removal.
Okay.
Leaving behind minimal marks and cutting down on any post-processing time.
Mm-hmm.
This is particularly valuable for high-volume production, where every second counts.
So side gates are efficient, versatile, and relatively easy to work with.
They are.
They sound like a real winner in the world of injection molding.
Yeah.
The article includes this handy comparison table showing side gates alongside direct and point gates.
Right.
And it emphasizes that each type has its own unique strengths and weaknesses.
Exactly.
It seems like choosing the right gate is kind of like a game of plastic Tetris, trying to fit all these factors together to choose the right one.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
There's no one-size-fits-all answer when it comes to injection molding.
Okay.
The best gate type will always depend on the specific requirements of the part being produced and the overall goals of the manufacturing process.
Okay, so we've gotten a taste of these different gate types.
Yeah.
Their pros and cons and why the choice matters so much.
Right.
But how do manufacturers actually go about making this decision? What are the key factors that go into selecting the right gate for the job?
That's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
The article breaks down several key criteria that manufacturers consider.
Yeah.
And it all starts with the size and shape of the part itself.
Let's dive into those criteria.
Okay.
The article lists part size material, production needs aesthetics, structural requirements, and even the compatibility with the mold structure itself.
Yes. Each of these factors plays a critical role in the decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you're working with a large, thick part, a direct gate might be the best choice due to its efficient pressure transmission.
Mm-hmm.
But for a small, intricate part where a flawless finish is a must, a point gate would likely be a better fit.
It's almost like a puzzle, figuring out which gate type fits all the pieces.
Exactly.
And those pieces can be quite specific. For example, the article mentions how certain materials, like polyamide, which is known for its toughness, can pose challenges when using a latent gate, a type of gate we'll discuss later.
Okay.
Because it's very difficult to cleanly break the part away from the gate.
Right.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So even the type of plastic being used can influence which gate types are viable options?
It does.
I'm really curious to hear more about these latent gates.
Yeah.
But before we do, I want to explore those other criteria mentioned in the article.
Okay.
What about those production needs?
Yeah.
How do those factor into the gate decision?
So production needs bring considerations like production volume and automation into the mix.
Okay.
If a manufacturer is producing a high volume of parts,
they'll
want to choose a gate type that's easy to remove.
Yeah.
And ideally compatible with automated systems.
Right.
Something like a side gate, which we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Could be a great choice in that scenario.
So when you're cranking out lots of parts,
efficiency
and cost effectiveness become major priorities.
They do.
And of course, we can't forget about those aesthetics.
Right.
If you're making a product where visual appeal is paramount, you'll want to choose a gate type that leaves the smallest and least noticeable mark possible.
Exactly.
And finally, there are the structural requirements of the part to consider.
Yes.
Some gate types, like the spoke gate mentioned in the article, are specially designed to reinforce specific shapes.
Right.
Like those with cylindrical forms.
Okay, so it's not just about picking a gate from a list.
Right.
There's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
The part itself, what it's made of, how many are being made, what it needs to look like, and how strong it needs to be.
Yeah, it sounds like choosing the right gate type
is
a multifaceted decision.
It certainly can be.
Okay.
And the article drives home the point that there's no single best gate type.
Right.
It all depends on the context. That's why it's so important to carefully consider all of these factors.
Okay.
And consult with experienced engineers who can help make the best decision for each unique situation.
It seems like making the right choice is essential for creating high-quality products efficiently.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that careful consideration can significantly impact the efficiency, cost-effectiveness, and overall quality of the manufacturing process.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Now, I'm really intrigued by those mysterious latent gates you mentioned earlier.
There you go.
Let's unpack those next and see how they fit into this puzzle of injection molding.
Sounds good. Latent gates are designed to be completely hidden within the part.
Okay.
Leaving no visible trace on the surface.
Wait, so they're like invisible gates?
Yeah.
How does that even work?
It is quite ingenious, actually. They're typically nestled within a recess or channel in the mold itself and engineered to break away cleanly when the part is ejected. Picture this. The mold opens and the part emerges with a perfectly smooth surface, as if by magic. No trace of a gate mark whatsoever.
That sounds absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Especially for products where a flawless look is paramount.
Right.
But as we've learned so far, there are always trade-offs in injection molding. What are the downsides to using latent gates?
You're spot on. There are a few limitations to consider. Latent gates can be more challenging to design and implement compared to other gate types. They also require a bit more finesse during manufacturing. Not all plastics are suitable for latent gates either. Think about a material like polyamide, which is known for its toughness. It becomes very difficult to cleanly break the part away from the gate during ejection, which can lead to imperfections or even damage the part.
So while latent gates offer that highly sought-after invisible finish, they're not a universal solution.
Right.
Material selection and part complexity seem to play a big role in determining if a latent gate is the best choice.
Precisely. It's a bit like a puzzle, figuring out which gate type fits all the pieces. You have to consider the material properties, the desired aesthetics, and the intricacies of the manufacturing process itself. But when done right, latent gates can significantly enhance the visual appeal of a product.
It's amazing how something as seemingly small as the gate can have such a significant impact on the final product.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see plastic products in a whole new light.
You're starting to see the hidden world of design and engineering that shapes the objects around us. And believe me, it's a world full of fascinating details and clever solutions.
You know, that reminds me of something else. The article mentions the environmental impact of these different gate types.
Oh, okay.
I hadn't even considered that angle before.
Yeah.
How does the gate choice factor into sustainability?
It's an aspect of manufacturing that's gaining more and more attention.
Yeah.
Think about the point gates we discussed earlier, the ones that detach automatically.
Right.
That automation can significantly reduce the need for manual trimming, leading to less labor, less energy consumption, and potentially less waste generated during production.
So a seemingly small design choice, like the type of gate,
yeah,
can contribute to a more sustainable manufacturing process.
It can.
That's fascinating.
Absolutely. And it goes beyond just gate removal. The gate type also influences how efficiently the plastic fills the mold.
Mm-hmm.
A well-chosen gate can minimize material waste by ensuring the mold is completely filled without injecting excess plastic.
That makes a lot of sense. It's all about optimizing every stage of the process to reduce waste and conserve resources.
It's a holistic approach to manufacturing, considering not only the functionality and aesthetics of the final product,
right,
but also its environmental footprint.
Okay.
As consumers become more environmentally conscious, manufacturers are actively seeking ways to make their processes more sustainable.
Yeah.
Choosing the right gate type can be a small but meaningful step in that direction.
It's remarkable how a detail like the injection mold gate can have such far-reaching implications.
Yeah.
It truly emphasizes the interconnectedness of design manufacturing and sustainability.
It's a beautiful example of how even the smallest details can have a ripple effect. And it's encouraging to see that innovation and sustainability can go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Now that we've explored the nuances of latent gates and their implications for sustainability, let's shift our focus back to the other gate types and delve deeper into the key factors that manufacturers consider when making their selection.
Okay, that sounds like a great plan.
Okay.
We've touched upon these criteria before, but I'd love to understand them in more detail, especially in light of everything else we've discussed.
Yeah.
So let's break down those key factors.
Okay.
That guide manufacturers in choosing the perfect gate for their injection molding project.
Let's start with the most obvious factor.
Yeah.
The size and shape of the part being produced.
Yeah.
It seems intuitive.
Yeah.
But the dimensions and geometry of the part play a huge role in determining which gate type is most suitable.
That makes sense. I imagine a small, intricate part would require a different gate than a large, bulky one. Could you elaborate on how part size and shape influence the decision?
Imagine you're trying to fill a small, intricate mold with a molten plastic.
Okay.
A large gate, like a direct gate, would likely deliver too much material too quickly.
Oh.
Potentially leading to defects or inconsistencies in the final product. In such cases, a smaller, more controlled gate, like a point gate or a pin gate, would be a better choice.
Right.
They allow for a more precise and delicate flow of plastic, ensuring the intricate details of the mold are properly filled without any unwanted overflow or pressure buildup.
So it's all about matching the gate size and type to the specific needs of the part geometry.
Precisely. A large, bulky part might benefit from a direct gate's efficiency in delivering large volumes of material. But a smaller, more delicate part would require a more controlled and precise approach.
This is really fascinating. I never realized there was so much nuance involved in something as seemingly simple as choosing a gate.
There's a lot more to injection molding than meets the eye. Another critical factor to consider is the type of plastic being used, which can significantly impact the choice of gate.
I remember you mentioned earlier that certain plastics, like polyimide, can be challenging to use with latent gates.
Yeah.
How does the material choice influence the decision-making process in general?
Different plastics have different properties, and these properties can affect how they flow, cool, and solidify during injection molding.
Okay.
Some plastics are more viscous, meaning they resist flow, while others are more fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Some plastics shrink significantly as they cool, while others maintain their shape more consistently.
Right.
Each of these characteristics can influence the choice of gate.
It's like each plastic has its own personality, and the gate type needs to be compatible with that personality.
That's a great way to put it.
All right.
For example, a highly viscous plastic might require a larger gate to allow for adequate flow into the mold cavity.
Yeah.
On the other hand, a plastic that shrinks significantly as it cools might benefit from a gate that compensates for that shrinkage, preventing warping or distortion in the final product.
It sounds like material selection and gate choice go hand in hand.
Exactly.
You can't really consider one without the other.
They're intertwined aspects of the injection molding process, and finding the right combination is crucial for achieving high quality results.
So we talked about part size and shape and the material being used.
Right.
What are some of the other key factors that manufacturers consider?
Another important factor is the desired production volume.
Okay.
If a manufacturer is producing a high volume of parts, they'll prioritize efficiency and automation. They might opt for gate types that are easy to remove, like side gates, or those that are compatible with automated systems like point gates with automatic detachment features.
So high volume production often calls for streamlined processes.
Yeah.
And gates that can keep up with the pace. What about those aesthetic considerations we touched upon earlier? Mm. How do those factor into the gate selection?
Aesthetics are particularly important for products where visual appeal is a primary selling point.
Right.
Think about consumer electronics, automotive components, or even medical devices.
Yeah.
In these cases, manufacturers will often prioritize gate types that leave minimal or invisible marks, such as point gates or latent gates.
It's all about creating a product that not only functions well,
yeah,
but also looks great.
Precisely. And finally, we can't forget about the structural requirements of the part.
Right.
Some gate types are specifically designed to reinforce certain shapes or withstand specific stresses.
Okay.
For example, the spoke gate mentioned earlier is often used for parts with cylindrical forms to provide additional strength and prevent deformation.
So it's like choosing a gate that not only facilitates the molding process,
yeah,
but also enhances the final product's performance.
Exactly. It's a holistic approach to design and manufacturing, considering all the interconnected factors that contribute to a successful outcome.
This deep dive has really opened my eyes to the complexity and nuance of injection molding. I used to think of it as a simple process of pouring plastic into a mold, but it's so much more than that. It's a fascinating interplay of material science, engineering design, and even sustainability considerations.
It's a dynamic and ever-evolving field, and there's always something new to learn and discover.
Well, speaking of learning and discovering, you mentioned earlier that there are even more specialized gate types beyond the ones we've discussed so far.
Right.
Curious to hear about those and how they fit into this intricate world of injection molding.
There are. And they get even more specialized and tailored for specific types of parts and manufacturing goals.
All right. So give me an example of a more specialized gate type.
One interesting example is the ring gate, which is often used for cylindrical or hollow parts.
Oh, a ring gate. So how does that work?
Imagine a donut-shaped gate that encircles the part, allowing plastic to flow into the mold cavity from all sides simultaneously.
Oh.
This helps to ensure even filling and minimize stress on the part during the molding process.
Ah, so it's all about balance and minimizing stress points.
Exactly. It's about creating a controlled flow of plastic that results in a high-quality part.
That makes a lot of sense. Are there any other specialized gate types that come to mind?
Another interesting one is the disc gate,
okay,
which is often used for parts with large flat surfaces.
Hmm. So instead of a point or a line,
right,
the gate is shaped like a disc.
Exactly. The disc shape helps to distribute the flow of plastic more evenly across a large surface area.
Okay.
Reducing the risk of defects like sink marks or flow lines. It's particularly useful for parts that require a smooth, flawless finish on one side.
Oh, I see. So like a phone case or a decorative panel.
Exactly. Those are great examples where a disc gate might be the ideal choice.
These specialized gate types are fascinating. It's like there's a whole toolbox of options for injection molding,
mm,
and each one is tailored to specific challenges and desired outcomes.
You're starting to grasp the essence of injection molding. It's not a one-size-fits-all process. It's about understanding the nuances, selecting the right tools for the job, and continuously innovating to achieve the best possible results.
This has been an incredibly insightful deep dive. I'm starting to appreciate the incredible level of engineering and ingenuity that goes into creating the plastic products we encounter every day.
It truly is a testament to human creativity and our ability to solve complex problems. And the best part is that the world of injection molding is constantly evolving, with new technologies and techniques emerging all the time.
Speaking of new technologies, the article also touches upon the increasing use of computer simulations in gate design and optimization. Could you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. Computer simulations have become indispensable tools for injection molding engineers.
Okay.
They allow engineers to virtually model the injection molding process, predict how different gate types will perform, and optimize the design before even creating a physical prototype.
So it's like a virtual test run,
yeah,
for the injection molding process, allowing engineers to identify potential problems and fine-tune the design.
Right. Before committing to costly tooling and production runs.
It's a powerful way to reduce lead times, minimize waste, and ensure the highest level of quality in the final product.
I can see how computer simulations are revolutionizing the injection molding industry. It's a fantastic example of how technology is being leveraged to enhance both efficiency and precision.
It's an exciting time to be involved in the world of manufacturing.
Yeah.
As technology continues to advance, we can expect even more innovative approaches to injection molding,
right,
leading to new possibilities in product design and production.
This has been an incredibly informative and engaging deep dive. I feel like I've gained a whole new level of understanding about the hidden world of injection molding.
It's been a pleasure sharing this journey with you. I hope you've enjoyed exploring this often overlooked aspect of manufacturing.
I definitely have. It's amazing how much we can learn from taking a closer look at the things we encounter every day.
Yeah.
But before we wrap things up, I want to circle back to something you said earlier about the environmental impact of injection molding.
You mentioned that choosing the right gate type can be a step towards more sustainable practices. Are there any other trends or innovations in the industry that are pushing towards greater environmental responsibility?
That's a great question. Sustainability is becoming a major focus in the injection molding industry.
Okay.
And there are some exciting developments happening on that front. One notable trend is the increasing use of bioplastics and recycled plastics as alternatives to traditional petroleum-based plastics.
I've heard about bioplastics. They're made from renewable plant materials, right?
Exactly. They offer a more eco-friendly alternative to traditional plastics, as they can be derived from sources like cornstarch, sugarcane, or even algae.
Oh, wow.
They often biodegrade more readily, reducing their impact on landfills and the environment.
That sounds promising. What about recycled plastics? Mm-hmm. How are they being incorporated into injection molding?
The use of recycled plastics is another growing trend. Manufacturers are increasingly incorporating recycled plastic content into their products, reducing the reliance on virgin materials and giving new life to plastic waste.
So it's like closing the loop on plastic production,
yeah,
turning waste into a valuable resource.
It's a win-win for both the environment and the economy. And the innovation doesn't stop there. Researchers are even exploring ways to use 3D printing technology to create injection molds.
Wow.
Which could further reduce waste and increase design flexibility.
3D printing injection molds. That sounds futuristic.
It's a testament to the constant innovation happening in the field of manufacturing. It's an exciting time to be a part of this industry as we seek new and better ways to create the products we need while minimizing our environmental footprint.
This deep dive has been incredibly eye-opening, and I feel inspired by the positive changes happening in the injection molding industry.
Yeah.
It's encouraging to see that sustainability is taking center stage. But before we get too carried away with the future of injection molding, I want to bring it back to the present, something we touched upon earlier.
Okay.
Those gate marks that often reveal the secrets of how a product was made.
All right. I like where you're going with this. It's time to put our newfound knowledge to the test.
Exactly. We've learned so much about different gate types and how they impact the appearance and functionality of a product. So let's challenge ourselves to become injection molding detectives.
Okay.
Next time you pick up a plastic object, take a closer look.
Yeah.
Can you spot the gate mark? Can you guess what type of gate might have been used based on its location, size, and appearance?
It's a fun way to apply what we've learned and gain a deeper appreciation for the hidden world of manufacturing.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe you'll even start to notice gate marks on products you've never paid attention to before.
That's a great point. So to wrap things up, we've been on quite a journey today exploring the fascinating world of injection mold gate types.
Yeah, it has been a deep dive.
We've learned that these often overlooked details play a crucial role in shaping the products we use every day.
They do.
From the simple but efficient direct gate, mm-hmm, to the aesthetically pleasing point gate and the versatile side gate, all the way to the stealthy latent gate. The choice of gate depends on a complex interplay of factors.
It does.
Material selection production needs aesthetics, structural requirements. Mm. All of these things and more come into play.
Yeah.
And we've also seen how innovation in the injection molding industry,
right,
is pushing towards a more sustainable future.
Absolutely.
With bioplastics, recycled plastics, and even 3D printed molds making their way into the manufacturing landscape.
It's really exciting to see.
I completely agree. So next time you pick up a plastic product, take a moment to appreciate the journey it took from molten plastic to the object in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the gate that played a crucial role in its creation and consider the ingenuity and innovation behind its design.
Yeah, it's a whole world hidden in plain sight.
Well said. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive. Until next time, happy exploring.